Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. We're broadcasting live today from SCPB's Black Hills Studios, and it is the South Dakota Festival of Books, my favorite time of the year, and today is the Young Readers Festival. So children's authors are all over the school district and the streets of Rapid City right now. Tomorrow, everyone will be in Deadwood, of course, for the weekend. Jesse Taken Alive Rencounter is with us in the studio. Jesse, thank you for being here.
Of course. Thank you for inviting me.
So the great story about Jesse's book is I cannot get a copy of it, no matter how many times. Like, it's so popular that it's like I've been here and we just sold out. I've been here and I could order it, but I keep waiting to come across it, and I just never do. It's been something that's so well received. Tell me a little bit. Give us the title of the book and tell us a little bit about why you wrote it, and then we'll talk about that response that people have had.
Yeah, of course. So the title of the book is called Peta Shows Misu the Light. And, you know, I served as a school counselor now, probably my 13th year now as a school counselor. And some of those years I've spent in high school, and most of the years I've spent with elementary students. And hearing students come in and share some of their really sad stories and their difficult situations that we're in, I utilize a lot of my teachings from my culture, from my parents that were taught values and such spirituality things that were taught through my Lakota culture, and was given a dream. And after I had said some prayers for guidance and working with these young people, I received a dream and a message that I was to share with the children. And so I turned it into a children's book to reach more children.
So we spoke earlier in the hour, and I said that a lot of people who want to become children's authors will say, this book hasn't been written yet. And sometimes I'll be like, well, there's five of them, you know, here they are. Mm-hmm. In your case, there just isn't a lot of Lakota children's literature, any kind of indigenous people's literature, Native American literature. It's really limited. There's some great stuff out there, but it's not something that you're gonna just stumble upon in the bookstore or library usually.
Right. And I think, you know, what it comes down to is we've had a lot of, I think Dawn had touched on this, there's a lot of stories in our culture that have been passed down for many generations, but have not really maybe been put into stories or children's books. And we come right now from a society that our way of life is so different from our ancestors, where storytelling was a huge thing that was going on, and that's how we taught our values. And now it's like our fast-paced way of life in our society today is really different, and so it's really hard to sit down and share these stories. And so thus, you know, a lot of these stories have not necessarily been put into books, and it's difficult for, you know, our children to have access to these stories. So
tell me about hearing stories growing up.
Oh yes, my mother Cheryl is one of the best oral storytellers ever, and I would love when she would tell her stories. And she did a lot of work with groups back home on a reservation in Standing Rock, where she would make up stories that would incorporate a lot of the values. And then I think maybe that's where I got that from with this book. But it's growing up, I would love listening to my mother's stories, because it just kind of took you into a different place. And so not everyone gets that opportunity to have storytellers like how I did with my mother. Mm-hmm. And so me wanting to share this message that, you know, was given to me in a dream, and what I would share with students in my office for a few years, I thought, you know what, I need to make this into a book and realize that I could reach more children and people in general with writing a book. So yeah.
Do you tell them stories?
I do.
I
like to, and that's what I found that how I can connect to the students is when I can share some stories with them that usually have some type of lesson or value incorporated into it.
You said some of the stories they were telling you, some of their experiences were hard to hear.
Yes.
And I think, you know, we're celebrating these books, and we're, you know, celebrating the one book, you know, being a Lakota story, a collection, or, you know, three different Lakota books in one by Don Montalo. But I don't want to brush over the fact that what you're hearing, the lived experience of these children, is not always a positive thing. Tell me about some of the things that kids are facing in school, in life, in culture.
Yes, of course. So we have little children. It doesn't matter what cultural background you come from, income, you know, in a house. And so we have children that experience some bullying in school. Bullying, or sometimes children come to school really sad because, you know, family is splitting, where there's divorce in the home, or maybe there's some addiction that is, you know, happening with a loved one or a family member. And sometimes these children don't know how to incorporate that into thinking that, hey, this is not my fault. You know, a lot of them think that it's their fault. What can I do to make it better? Mm-hmm. You know, or what did I do? Why is this happening? And so I have a lot of those questions over the years, and, you know, why is this happening, Mrs. Rencounter? And sometimes those stories are so heartbreaking that as a professional, I really have to fight back my own tears.
Right.
And, you know, put my professional face on, my professional voice on. And so there's only so much that you've been trained as a school counselor when you go to graduate school to help with. And of course, I use all those, you know, teachings and stuff in graduate school. And that's why I turned to prayer, you know, earlier, a few years or years back, and said, I need some help with these children.
Yeah.
So.
You can't fix it.
You can't.
I mean, there's some things you can, I mean, maybe there's, you know, if there's a bullying situation, it's not like you can sit back and say, there's nothing I can do. I don't mean to imply that. There's things that you do that are actively engaging, but the pain itself, sometimes just being present,
right,
is a challenge enough as it is.
Yes, and so, you know, I want to kind of, my hope in this book is try to inspire our children, to let them realize that, hey, you know what, hurting people hurt other people. But also to have that sense of compassion, but also, more importantly, to have a sense of hope in knowing that there is something that they can do to make our world become a better place. And so that's what my book tries to incorporate that message into.
Yeah.
So,
are you must be delighted with the response. How many people, tell me how people have responded.
Wow, I am really overwhelmed with the love that the book has been getting, you know. And my husband and I, we do some presentations, cultural presentations, sometimes at Crazy Horse, sometimes for, you know, tour groups in town. And, you know, we have people that come and, you know, I share at the end of our presentations, after our song and dance presentations, that I'm wrote a children's book, you know, and I really briefly just describe what it's about, that it's, you know, teaches compassion, forgiveness, kindness, and, you know, what we can do to make our world become a better place. And, you know, some of the people will buy it right there, and about, I mean, 45 minutes later, hour later, they'll come back to me and say, this is not just for children. This is for everyone, all ages. And I've had people come up to me, adults, crying and saying, it's a beautiful message that we all need to be reminded about. And so I always like to say that I can't take full credit for this, that I was just available to be there to receive that message so I can share it. So,
what's next? Because when you have that kind of experience, you know, we've had people on the show just today, like, I decided to be a writer. I didn't want to be a writer, and this opportunity came up. You have this very unique, you know, challenge, prayerful, listening, dream story. Is that a process then for you? I mean, that's not the only time that you've ever prayed about anything, maybe not the only time that you received guidance in a dream. Is that how you move forward? Do you have more projects coming?
I do. I am currently, you know, working on a novel that would be for, you know, teenagers and older, you know, something that talks about, like, the importance of healing ourselves, you know, because it helps heal people who have come before us, our parents, grandparents, but also it's going to help heal future generations. And so that's kind of like the theme of that book. And it involves four women. And so, mm-hmm. I'm excited about that, but also I want to continue to work on children's book, because I think children are at the age where they're so open to receiving knowledge and guidance, and I think that's an age that, you know, I want to target to be able to help children to grow.
How does healing happen, especially when it's so complex? It's, you know, historical, it's colonization, it's, you know, active racism now, it's you know, a variety of life stories.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like a really big word.
It is. It is. Healing happens in a number of ways. And, you know, I've grown up as a dreamer, meaning, like, I've received messages through dreams from beautiful message, powerful messages that I know that I need to share with others. But healing comes from in a matter of different ways, whether that's taking care of ourselves physically and making sure that we are active, you know, getting our body moving, but it also incorporates using our breath and being able to breathe out some of that trauma, that hurt that we've experienced, whether that's in our lifetime or it's been passed down to us genetically. And so it happens in a matter of ways. And, you know, and these are topics that I want to be able to address, you know, to our children and maybe even young adults, as said, you know, take time to take care of yourself, because, you know, we live in such a fast-paced world where we're always rushing to the next place or having to be at a place at a certain time that we just go, and it's almost like we're on autopilot where we just sit and we don't just be one and think of ourselves or be one in nature. And so I think, you know, I want to be able to encourage children, you know, and, you know, people of all ages to be able to get back to that practice.
Yeah. Let's just start there. Jesse, yes. Thank you so much. I'm so happy to finally be able to sit down and talk with you, and I really appreciate you in all the busyness and the bustle of not only your life, but of the Festival of Books that you made time for South Dakota Public Broadcasting listeners. Thank you very much.
I appreciate it. Thank you.